Welcome to The Final Word, a Bible teaching ministry with pastor, teacher, and author Jim Andrews. The Final Word is grounded on the invincible conviction that what the Bible teaches, God teaches. And that is the last word. On this program, truth still matters. The Bible is in, Babel is out. The Final Word is funded by listeners like you. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about the program, please go to our website at thefinalwordradio.com. There you'll find archives so you can listen to any program you may have missed. Visit us on our social media platforms at The Final Word Radio and write us a note. We love hearing from our listeners. We'll provide other contact information at the end of the program, so have your pen ready. And now Jim Andrews continues his current study of God's Word.
Good day, friends. Thank you for joining us on The Final Word. We continue our exposition of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. We're in the very last chapter. Chapter 6, verse 10, is the final section of a three-part letter to this church. In chapters 1 through 3, the apostle is dealing with the wealth of the believer. In chapter 4 through 6, 9, he's dealing with the walk of the believer. And in chapter 6, verse 10, where we are now, the apostle is focusing on a subset of the walk of the believer, the warfare of the believer. The apostle has admonished us to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, not in any presumed strength that we have. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual warfare, and we must understand the nature of it, and taking heed, put on the full armor of God. Not anything that we think up, but like a good soldier, get on all of our armor that we might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For it is the devil, it is Satan, we're up against. And he emphasizes in verse 12 that our struggle is not where we think it is. You know, we can go out chatterboxing against the wrong people. Really, we do have trouble with other human beings on this planet. It's a hostile world, particularly for a believer. It's light up against darkness, and darkness tries to swallow up the light. But really behind it all, he tells us, is not flesh and blood, but really the manipulator, the leverager of it all, is rulers, powers, world forces of this darkness against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So don't underestimate the strength of the enemy. The enemy is subtle and the enemy is spiritual. The enemy is unseen. The enemy stands behind our seen or visible enemies and is orchestrating the battle in order to bring us down, to tear us away from our faith and to cause our feet to slip in our walk with God and dishonor him and destroy us. So stand firm, therefore, and then he begins to speak in metaphors of armor, the armor of a soldier. When we put on clothing, just as I'm sitting here now, I have a belt on. I have a belt on so my pants won't slip down. I have a belt on so if I want to run, I can run. And if I want to walk, I can walk without tripping over myself. So, having girded your loins with truth, everything starts there, the revelation of God. That is the source, the foundation of truth. We understand nothing, really, nothing of any importance unless we understand the truth of God. And you and I as believers must marinate our mind in the truth, which is something that most professing believers these days, if my perceptual apparatus is as acute as I think it is, most are not doing that. But of course, I could also say that so many of those who profess to be Christians today don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry to say, from a bunny rabbit. I don't know for sure. I do know the fruits of men and women who walk with God, and so often they don't match up, so we have every right to treat them as suspect. Nevertheless, honest to goodness, genuine believers can be way too negligent, and I think often are, in saturation of their minds with the truth of God. This is a crucial piece of armor, or Satan is going to be able to get hold of us and knock the pins right out from under us. Secondly, put on the breastplate. Breastplate goes right to the heart, right to the conscience, the breastplate of righteousness. If we do not walk in practical righteousness, and I think that's what he's talking about, he's not talking here about justification. He's not talking about legal righteousness where the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us, as important as that is. That's not what's in view here. That's more in view in the third piece of armor. But if we're going to walk in this world, walk after Christ, and not be vulnerable to upset by the enemy, We've got to be careful that we do, in fact, walk after Christ and protect the conscience. And then we talked in the last study in verse 15 about having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When you go into battle, you've got to have good shoes on. I remember when I was growing up playing football in high school and college, or running track, you got to have cleats. And the cleats in this case happen to be the preparation of the gospel of peace, prepares the mind. The gospel or the good news about our peace with God, well, we've got to understand the gospel intellectually. And we've got to convictionally embrace it and appropriate that gospel. Otherwise, the enemy will always have us off balance. We need to know that we are reconciled with God, our sins are forgiven, that we are clothed with the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to Him, and if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can thwart us? He will keep us. And in John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus Christ told us that all that the Father has given Him, we'll come to Him, and He told us also, He'll keep us, that the Father intended that everyone that came with Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, would raise up at the last day. You and I, if we've done it from the heart, we have come to Him in faith, we belong to Him, and He's going to keep us. We've got to have our feet shod, spiritual feet, that is, shod with those cleats that can dig into the ground that is under us, the ground that is sometimes shifting because the enemy will try to shift it and make us unstable. We've got to get our heads around the gospel and what it means. Understand the security that belongs to us in Jesus Christ because we have been redeemed in Him. Our sins have been atoned for, and we belong to God. We are His children, and He's not going to let the enemy take us out of His hand. Jesus told us that in John chapter 10, that the Father would keep us, that no one could take us out of His Father's hands. I and my Father are one. Well, there in brief is the gospel of peace, the good news of peace. And that's a preparation. As we get up and walk into our day daily, we need to have our feet shod with that preparation. The preparation that gives, those amount to cleats. Cleats on slippery ground. Cleats that dig down in on uneven ground, on unlevel ground. Because the devil will always try to get you to his advantage on uneven and unlevel ground. So you've got to be able to dig in. And what is it that helps you dig in? Well, it's the preparation, the mental preparation, the heart preparation of the gospel of peace. When we say heart preparation, we're not talking about emotional. The heart includes the intellect, the affections, and the will. That is what amounts to our spiritual feet. Now he goes on. And he tells us more armor that we must put on. In verse 16, he says, in addition, taking up the shield of faith. A shield protects the warrior from deadly spears and savage sword wounds. Well, that's what our faith and our confidence in God does. Folks, there is the faith whereby we believe the gospel of peace, and we come to God and we're reconciled to God. We are regenerated, we are born again, and we are saved. We are included in the family of God, but faith does not end there. The faith that comes to Christ is the same faith that walks with Christ. And walking with Christ is sometimes a challenge because we're still in this flesh. And what Satan and all his demonic hordes will try to do is get us out in the open, get us exposed, find a hard time, a difficult situation in our lives, a set of confusing circumstances, or all of the above, and then he will start probing us with deadly spears, and if he gets close to us, savage sword wounds. Well, faith is trusting God or taking God at his word. Faith is trusting in God's promises. Faith is trusting in God's principles. Faith is trusting in His precepts. When we get up in the morning and go out to meet our day, we don't know what's around the corner. As we walk into the sunlight or go out at night and walk into the darkness, we don't know what's there. But we do know there's an unseen enemy there. And our lives could take a whole different shape in a given day than they were in yesterday. But whatever we meet, We must go out trusting God's promises, even when His promises do not seem like they're going to be fulfilled or are being fulfilled. I was talking with a young man recently over dinner, fine young man, and look forward to working with him. But the young fellow just was saying that he struggled. He had been struggling for some years now. He said it just seemed like that the walk, the principles that we believers are called to live by don't seem like they work in the modern world. Well, they do. There's a lack of clarity there. There's a lack of understanding. But where that young man needs to arrive at is this, that God's principles, yes, they work. They are reality. It's the other principles that aren't reality. They're deception. We need to walk according to God's program, which is walking after Christ and trusting His precepts. If God says go, we go. If God says do, we do. Whatever it is, we do that. And that is expressing our confidence or our trust in God. That's a shield. That keeps the believer from being stuck with deadly spears and suffering savage sword wounds. If we don't walk out on Monday morning, folks, armed with that shield, then we're going to get hit hard, we're going to get taken down, and the enemy's going to have a field day with us. This Christian life is a matter of walking by faith. We are saved by faith, and we walk by faith. We trust God's promises, we trust God's principles, we trust His precepts, and oh, let me add, we trust His character. The Scripture says, those of you who heard our Exodus study probably heard this from Exodus 34. The Lord God describes His character, and He says He's gracious and compassionate. It says He is slow to anger. It says He's full of loving kindness and truth or faithfulness. It says He forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. And yet He will in no wise pardon the guilty, but will visit the sins of the fathers upon the children and the grandchildren unto the third and the fourth generations of those who reject His grace, reject His goodness, and persist in hating Him. Sometimes God's character may not appear manifest in the space where you are right now. You may not see at this moment in God's plan for your life and what God is doing, what He's allowing in His providence. You may not see that God is gracious and compassionate. He may not look that way at all to you. It may seem that God is dealing with you harshly. How would a loving God allow this or that to happen? It may not seem that God is slow to anger. It may seem as though God is hammering you, that He's not a patient and long-tempered God. Or it may not seem that God is full, abounding in loving kindness toward you as child and in faithfulness. It may seem to you that God is not living up to His billing. And sometimes you may not have a sense of a feeling for the fact that God has forgiven you. You may feel like old sins are coming back to haunt you, that you're just on probation and God's still beating up on you, that He forgives sin, iniquity, and transgression. And then it may not seem that God is just. Evil people, bad people, mean people, vicious people have done and are doing terrible things to you and are not letting up. And you just wonder, where is a just God? Where's a holy God who allows all these things? And the enemy will just whisper those things in your ear, that God's not living up to His bargain. He's not performing or acting as advertised. The enemy will pounce on you, whisper that stuff in our ears when things are bad, when life is going bad. And you may doubt the character of God. My friends, you have to walk by faith in those times. God will allow such things to come upon us as He did with Job and did with many of His servants. And those are times of testing with adversity. And these are times when we prove whether or not we're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether or not we really trust God. Did we trust God when things were rosy and the sun was out and life was shiny and we were prosperous? Do we trust God in the bad times as well as in the good times? Trust His promises, trust His principles, trust His precepts, trust His character. Well, that's the test. And the enemy will come and find us. We better have that shield of faith up. I would advise any of you who say, yeah, Jim, that's me. I'll tell you the truth. What you described earlier was where I am. I've written a book on that subject, Polishing God's Monuments, Pillars of Hope in Punishing Times. You can get hold of it. You ought to do it. It has helped so many. The shield of faith there is to help us quench the flaming missiles of the devil. Those are fiery projectiles that in ancient warfare were meant to send people down in flames. And some of those flaming missiles that the enemy may fire at you in times of testing or at any time, in burning lust, passion, anger, wrath. Let me say that faith is both active and passive. Active faith, which I've been describing, is acting on His Word, obediently trusting in His promises, obediently trusting in His principles and His precepts and His character. But there's a passive faith, and ordinarily when we say passive, that's a pejorative term, but it's not in this case. There's a passive faith that there's nothing we can do, but we just wait on God's action trustingly. Just know that we're out. We can't manage this. The situation is overwhelming, beyond our strength. At that time, we just wait on the Lord, and that's called hope. We just expectantly wait on Him to act. The next piece of armor is a helmet. Every soldier wore a helmet. Well, Paul uses that metaphor analogy, and he says, when you go out to meet the day, you get past Sunday, and you're going out on Monday, so to speak. He said, remember, your enemy is strong, he is subtle, and he's spiritual. You don't see him. The enemy is not who you think he is, really. Ultimately, your enemy is mighty. You're up against rulers, powers, the devil and all of his demonic horde, against world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Only the armaments of God are sufficient for this. So you need to put on a helmet as you go out to meet the day. In this case, the helmet is salvation. The helmet, obviously, just as a breastplate protects the vital organ of the heart, the helmet protects the vital organ of the mind. Folks, our salvation that we're to put on has three aspects. Our salvation is spoken of in the past tense. That's justification and reconciliation. The day that we received Jesus Christ by faith, we were justified. That is, God declared us righteous legally. He clothed us in the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we are seen in Him, not for what we are, but for what He is. We're in the Beloved. Our salvation is spoken of in the Bible in the present tense. That's called sanctification. It's a process whereby God is conforming us, gradually, incrementally, into the moral likeness of Jesus Christ. And then our salvation has a future tense. It looks forward to and hope to our glorification or the consummation of our salvation, when we shall be like He is. When He shall come, we shall be like Him. We shall be finally and ultimately transformed into the likeness of Christ. Salvation here, put on the helmet of salvation, has in view our future hope. It's that future tense that is most in view. You always have to live with one eye cocked to the future. Our hope, which is a subset of faith, our hope is our anchor in the present. This life, as I've mentioned, can go terribly wrong for us. Everything, to use an old expression, can just seem to go to hell in a handbasket. But the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, always got to remember this, the sufferings of this present time, they are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. You can't lose in this life, my friends. You can lose your health. You can lose your friends. You can lose your income. You can just be poorer than Job's turkey, as the old expression goes. That's hard. That's painful. But when I say we can't lose, though we feel like we've lost everything, I want to tell you something. We've got a future. I always like to say, my people have heard me say it many, many times, we're the Cinderellas of this earth. That's the helmet of salvation. The prince is coming, and he knows whose foot the glass slipper fits, and it's going to be you. It's not going to be the wicked sisters who seem to be prospering in this present world. It's you and me, him and her, my friend. All of us. Christ is coming for us, not because we're good people, not because we're more deserving than others, but because God chose us in eternity past, chose us before the foundation of the world that we might be holy and blameless in Him. And in time and in space, He called us. That's called the effectual call of God. He called us out, created faith in our hearts, faith, and He clothed us with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's a legal righteousness, reconciled us to Himself. We believed in Him. It was His work. By grace, we are saved through faith. By grace and grace alone, He's called us, and He's given us an inheritance that is undefiled, incorruptible, one that will not fade away, reserved in heaven for us who are kept by the power of God through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. That is our hope. So as we walk through the corridors of this life, which are dark and hard and painful, you got to keep one eye on the hope that is being brought to us in Jesus Christ. For having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access into this grace in which we stand. And get this, Romans chapter 5, and we boast in the expectation of the glory of God. That is our hope. Get that on your head. Lose sight of that hope, and the devil will mess you over in your head. So, keep your lid on, so to speak. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on the things that are here on earth. They are temporal. They are transient. Today you may have them. Tomorrow they may be gone. But what you've got is that hope. You cannot lose. Next, he says, put on the sword, an offensive weapon, the sword of the Word of God. A sword is a fearsome weapon. The other battle dress protects the soldier. This armament, the Word of God, rattles the devil. What does the Word of God mean in this context? Well, the Greek term here is not the usual one, logos. It's rhema. Rhema means a specific Word of God, not his revelation in general. That's the normal distinction between the two. The sword is any specific promise of God, any warning of God, any precept of God, any principle of God that is applicable to our present situation or temptation, just as the Lord Jesus used in the Mount of Temptation. We vanquish the enemy when we brandish the Word of God. Satan says this in our ear, but we say that. Satan says you're going through too much, and we say to Satan, the sufferings of this present world, Satan, are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Satan says, you don't have sufficient. You need to peel off this path. Get over here on the broad way. And you say, the broad way leads to destruction. The narrow way is life. You say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things that you need. God said he would add to us and that kind of thing. So the classic example of spiritual sword warfare is there in Jesus in the Mount of Temptation. The devil attempted 3 seductions of the Lord Jesus, and the Lord countered each temptation with a specific word of God. So when nothing makes sense, and sometimes we're in those passages, we just bring forward in our minds this word, Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together, even the things I don't understand, for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And when things just seem impossible, we bring forward this word. It's like a sword. We strike the enemy with it. Nothing is too difficult for thee, Jeremiah said. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, nothing is impossible with God. And when God seems to have abandoned us, we remember, I will never desert you, I will never forsake you, Hebrews 13:5. Whenever the enemy tries to con you into thinking that God will look the other way, remember Numbers 32:23. You may be sure your sin will find you out. And on it goes. Finally, he says, pray. Keep up your line of communication. In all warfare, the enemy always targets the lines of communication to create confusion on the front and destroys confidence and timely support. Prayer is the spiritual equivalent of radio contact with heaven itself. Prayer is petition to God in the spirit of faith and dependence. Prayerlessness is the source of much defeat. Well, thank you, dear friend, for joining us on The Final Word. God bless you, and have a great day.
The Final Word is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about this program, please visit our website at thefinalwordradio.com. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. Our email address is info@thefinalwordradio.com. Our phone number is 503-699-9840. If this program has ministered to you, tell a friend about it. We do solicit your prayers for God's hand upon this outreach.